The following podcast contains advertising. To access an ad-free version of the Lawfare podcast, become a material supporter of Lawfare at patreon.com/lawfare. That's patreon.com/lawfare. Also, check out Lawfare's other podcast offerings, Rational Security, Chatter, Lawfare No Bull, and The Aftermath.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Benjamin Wittes, and this is the Lawfare Podcast, special edition, June 29th, 2017. The Wall Street Journal this afternoon dropped a story entitled GOP Operatives Sought Clinton Emails from Hackers Implied a Connection to Flynn. It's by Shane Harris, whom Lawfare readers know well, and it provides the first detailed evidence, not conclusive evidence, but evidence of coordination between people associated with the Trump presidential campaign and people they believed to be Russian hackers. All right, let's talk through this story. Okay. This is a really weird story.
It's a really weird story.
And let's start by just walking through what we know.
Okay.
What happened? How'd you find out about it? And what do we know and what don't we know?
So the what happened is this. So in September of the Labor Day weekend of 2016, so September 2016, as the presidential campaign is heading into the home stretch, a man named Peter W. Smith, who is a longtime GOP opposition researcher and also a financier in Chicago, gathered together a group of technology experts and lawyers and a private investigator because he had this theory that the 33,000 emails that Hillary Clinton claimed to have deleted from her personal server that she used while secretary must have been obtained by hackers. He believed that at some point hackers would have compromised that system, which people knew to be weak, and made off with the emails. And he mounted a private effort to go find those emails by trying to make contact with hackers who he presumed would be probably in Russia. And as it turns out, he felt they were. Where this touches the Trump campaign is that in emails and in conversations with his associates, Peter Smith portrayed Mike Flynn as being an ally in that effort. He told people that he was talking to Mike Flynn about it. Mike Flynn's name and the name of his company showed up in email communications among the names of people who were involved with actively looking for these emails. So he really held out Mike Flynn to people who he was working with and who he was trying to entice into this venture as somebody who was allied in it and was certainly aware of what Smith was doing. And importantly, at that time, Mike Flynn was the senior national security advisor to Donald Trump. Other interesting pieces of timing on this. This is an idea, we should say, that Smith had for some time. He had, for many months throughout the history of the Clinton email saga, never believed that Hillary Clinton actually deleted those files, those emails that she said were personal. And even if she had, he thought there was a way to recover them. And he believed that they would show malfeasance at the Clinton Foundation and that they would show evidence of her culpability in trying to cover up the Benghazi attacks. So he had a really high motive for finding them, going to try to find them. And his plan was to try and reveal them publicly and to publish them. At the time that he was doing this, of course, WikiLeaks had already published emails hacked by Russia from the DNC. And importantly, this kind of quest that he sets off on follows by a few weeks Donald Trump's public call to Russia, which he made at a campaign stop in Florida, to the Russians to say, Russia, if you're listening, I sure hope you can find those 30,000 emails that Hillary claimed she deleted from her server.
Okay, so let me stop you there, because this is the first part of the story that just strikes me as a big, fascinating question mark. When I remember that speech really well, and I remember thinking to myself, what the hell is he talking about, right? And so the idea that somebody kind of independently was like, well, you know, got these 30,000 missing emails. I bet the Russians have them. The Russian hackers who hacked the DNC may have access to them. That somebody would have independently come up with that conspiracy theory strikes me as a little bit of a head scratcher. So my first question is, do we know who got the idea from whom, or whether there is a connection between Trump saying this in I don't remember what month he said
it's July.
In July, and then this campaign starting in September. Is there a relationship between those two events, or should we understand it as Trump has this peculiar idea that the Russian hackers may have Hillary Clinton's missing emails, and Peter Smith also developed this peculiar idea?
Well, I don't know what Peter Smith thought about that, and we can explain in a bit why I don't know that. It is the case that many people who – I guess I would group into people who are fervently anti-Clinton and believe that she was up to no good with the Clinton Foundation in Benghazi, the kind of views that Peter Smith had, have long thought it was not believable that she actually deleted these 33,000 emails. So I think that suspicion that there was something about something fishy about her claims that she deleted these private emails had been out there for some time. What it is exactly that prompts – you know, Donald Trump to go out and talk about this publicly. Recall that at the time, the DNC, I think the DNC emails are being leaked at this point, but why he makes that connection to the 33,000 missing emails, that I don't think we know for sure, but we might suspect that because this idea had been out there that there was something about those emails, maybe that's why he's prompted to say it. Smith was very clear that he was working independently of the Trump campaign. But he had a lot of affinity and a lot of affection for Donald Trump. He actually had a blog in which he wrote very flattering blog posts about Donald Trump. So as far as I know from my conversation with Smith, this is an idea that he had been harboring for some time. But it is interesting that it officially gets started on Labor Day weekend, which is, you know, post the Donald Trump Florida claim or Florida exhortation.
But post it by some time, right? Is
there... Well, not too long. I mean, less than 2 months. Yeah. It's in the thick of it.
Okay. So next question. There's some suggestion that Michael Flynn, in his capacity as national security advisor to the campaign, is somehow involved in this effort. One, what is the evidence that he was involved? And two, what is the reason to think he might not have been involved?
Right. So the evidence that indicates that he was aware of and possibly could be participating in, but let's just say at this point aware of, is this. I interviewed a man who was participating with Peter Smith's group, a guy named Eric York, who's a technology expert, who told me that Peter Smith had told him, I'm talking to Michael Flynn about this, meaning the work that they were doing together. I interviewed someone who had several phone conversations with Smith, who Smith was trying to recruit. And he said that he frequently made reference to Michael Flynn and Michael Flynn's son as being aware of this and portrayed them as being involved. And this person's understanding, interestingly, was his impression, I should say, was that Michael Flynn was being held out by Smith as somebody who was involved and aware of this in his capacity as a campaign advisor. That was the impression this person got. There are also emails that Smith and one of his junior associates sent as kind of a recruitment effort, I guess I would call it, in which they make reference to Flynn Intel Group, which is Mike Flynn's consulting company. They actually list it in one section of an email among a set, a small number of names of people who were actively involved in this operation. And at one point, Peter Smith also writes to someone that he's trying to recruit to this effort, I want to make introductions for you to Michael G. Flynn, who is General Flynn's son and was the chief of staff of Flynn Intel Group. So what you see is in these communications, both with people that Smith was working with and trying to get to work with him, Flynn being portrayed as somebody who was integral, I think, to the effort, as somebody who was part of a very small circle of people who were working on this. Now, what we don't know, Michael Flynn did not comment for this story. We do not know whether or not – I think there's no doubt, I should say, that Michael Flynn and Peter Smith knew each other. That is beyond dispute at this point.
But there are many ways in Washington to know each other.
They had met.
But so what does know each other mean in this context?
Knew each other in a context of people discussing possible business opportunities well before the campaign ever began. They had met. They had spoken. They had been in contact. What we don't know is the extent to which Michael Flynn was actively involved or giving direction. Was Mike Flynn receiving information from Peter Smith? Was Peter Smith sending him email updates, but Mike Flynn was ignoring them? Was Peter Smith going off and claiming things that were an exaggeration of Mike Flynn's awareness of this? That sort of the degree of awareness slash involvement by Flynn is sort of a key question that I think is hard to get at. What is clear, though, is that Flynn portrayed him in many ways as someone who was aware of this. And, you know, as the story states, there is no denial from Mike Flynn in this story. There is no comment from Mike Flynn in this story.
So what about – there's also no denial from either the White House or the Trump campaign, right? I mean, as I read the story, the White House sort of declined to say anything. And the Trump campaign said anything that Peter Smith might have been doing was independent of us.
Right. There's a real sense, I think, from people I talked to about this who were working with Flynn that – look, Peter Smith, not associated with us. If Mike Flynn was off doing something and we didn't know about it, that's on Mike Flynn. And there has been, and you've seen this in other instances in which Mike Flynn's name has gotten connected to various scandals and controversies, a real attempt to distance by the Trump campaign and by Trump people to distance Mike Flynn, which is really quite some trick. I mean, he was the senior national security advisor to the Trump campaign. He was one of the earliest
supporters.
And he
was the national security advisor to the president.
Correct, yes.
Admittedly, only for 20-something days.
That's right. There's been a real effort to portray Mike Flynn in some cases as somehow, you know, not connected. Now, it is also true that when we speak about the Trump campaign, we are talking about a very small apparatus. You might even call it scrappy by certain standards. And it is entirely plausible that people who were operating either within the campaign or in connection to it in some unofficial capacity could have been off engaging in activities that maybe Donald Trump didn't know about. In fact, Donald Trump himself, we know from reporting, has seemed to hold out this possibility when he's talked about potential collusion with regards to Russia, where he said, well, I'm not under investigation. I didn't do anything. Maybe satellites of mine may have done something. So he's even kind of envisioning a scenario in which people are going rogue, if we want to think of it that way.
Okay. So what we have here so far is an independent operation that is tied by some degree of connection, which may be very slight, maybe just that they know each other. Or maybe if you believe Smith's representations to his to colleagues and people at the time, much more substantial to Michael Flynn in his capacity as a operative of the Trump campaign, to recover emails they believe to have been stolen from Russian hackers. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the evidence that they actually reached Russian hackers in the course of trying to accomplish this mission?
Well, the evidence largely is the statement of Peter Smith, who I interviewed at length about this.
we're going to get to the fate of Peter Smith in a minute. because that's kind of an interesting story.
It has an interesting twist, so stay tuned. Peter Smith told me that he assembled this group, one of the members of which was, as he described it, an investigator in Europe who spoke Russian, whose name he didn't want to reveal to me, and went out and, as best as I can understand this, essentially kind of puts out an RFP and gets in touch with people who they have connections to try and find groups that reasonably stand a chance of having obtained these emails. He didn't describe all of the tradecraft by which they did that, but it was very clear that he was relying on people who he said had connections in that kind of world, which is, by the way, a totally plausible scenario. There are people who know how to navigate hacker undergrounds, and one of them I, in fact, interviewed for the story, Eric York, who was not involved in that particular piece of it. But the emails come back. These people come back, I should say, and say to Flynn's group, hey, we have these 33,000 emails you're looking for. At that point, Smith says, give them to this independent expert who I've hired who is going to try and verify them. Now, the process of trying to verify their authenticity to say whether these are actually from Hillary Clinton's email server, as he describes it, is a bit of an art and a science, but a fairly difficult thing to do. And he claims that this expert came back and said, I can give you near certainty, but not 100% certainty that these are actually her emails. Smith wondered if maybe some of them might have been doctored or manipulated in some kind of way, because he thought, after all, he was dealing with Russians. And he identified two groups of these hackers out of the five that he made contact with as being Russians. He was confident that they were. So we know from his own statements. And then another person who I talked to, who at the time that this was happening, described this to this person. Smith described it and said, I'm in the midst of trying to authenticate information that I believe was taken from Hillary Clinton's server. That was the purpose, as he spelled it out to this person.
Okay. So now we come to what I think is one of the key passages of your story, and I want to read it as you reported it. The operation Mr. Smith described is consistent with information that has been examined by U.S. investigators probing Russian interference in the elections. Those investigators have examined reports from intelligence agencies that describe Russian hackers discussing how to obtain emails from Mrs. Clinton's server and then transmit them to Mr. Flynn via an intermediary, according to U.S. officials with knowledge of the intelligence. It isn't clear who that intermediary might have been or whether Mr. Smith's operation was the one allegedly under discussion by the Russian hackers. The reports were compiled during the same period when Mr. Smith's group was operating, according to the officials. So this strikes me as like,
what are the chances?
Right. Well, you've got like a picture of a room.
Yeah.
And then you've got a picture of the mirror image of the room, but everybody's faces is blotted out in
right.
one.
Right.
In, and so I'm interested in how these two stories interact with one another to the extent that you know. We've got Peter Smith describing to you, hey, I did this thing. I tried to negotiate with some Russian hackers to obtain Hillary Clinton emails. And we've got some U.S. intelligence reporting, hey, there were some Russian hackers who were trying to get some information to Flynn through some third-party cutout. How should I understand this? Is this two sides of the same coin, or is this two sides of two different
right.
coins?
You know, and I suppose it's plausible that it could be one or the other, right? I mean, it certainly tracks in many key respects, as you've laid out, the operation that Peter Smith, in his own words, described that he was engaged in. The times match on that. The nature of the work matches on that. Now, is it possible that Russian hackers had obtained or claimed they had obtained this information and were looking for people to try and publish it? Sure, that is conceivable. We know Russian hackers stole emails from the DNC and gave them to WikiLeaks. So there's evidence of that kind of behavior. But these are awfully similar sounding operations.
I mean, you put them in the same story, which
yes.
suggests to me that you think it's at least reasonable to imagine that this is the Russian side,
yes.
the U.S. intelligence side reporting of the same incident.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the way I look at this is that it is reasonable to think that this may be the other end of this Peter Smith operation.
Okay. So if I were the Senate Intelligence Committee and I read this story, the first thing I would do is subpoena Peter Smith to come give a deposition or testify. But there's this reason why that's not going to happen.
Yes.
And let's talk through that a little bit.
The reason is that Peter Smith is dead.
Which kind of puts a kibosh on that.
Yeah. Okay. So he'll be unavailable for an interview.
So for our Louise Menchish readers, listeners, let's walk through that a minute. Was he murdered by Vladimir Putin?
I have no information that suggests that. To spell it out for listeners here, so we're very clear about this. I interviewed Peter Smith in early May. I should note that Peter Smith actually contacted me rather than the other way around. Although
was this a leak? There's a lot of talk about leaks. Seems a bunch of it, including from Sean Hannity these days, seems to involve me. Was this a leak?
No, I think that he – we mean, is it how he found out that I was looking into him?
No. I mean, like, you know, people want to understand how stories are put together.
No.
This was an on-the-record interview.
This is an on-the-record interview. I mean, Peter Smith called me and said, I understand that you've been writing about, as he put it, so-called Russian interference in the election. I have some experience with this. And I said, do tell me your story. And he told me his story. And it tracked with some quite – closely tracked with reporting I had already done. I should say that in full disclosure, my intention was to continue reporting that story and to come back to Mr. Smith, with whom I did not expect to be talking at that particular moment in time. And then when I was prepared to go back and talk to him, learned that he had died about 10 days after I interviewed him.
So how old was he?
81.
So he's an old guy.
He's an old man.
Do we know anything about the cause of death?
We don't. I asked for the cause of death from the town records office where he lived, and they were not willing to give it to me. And when I tried to reach out to his family and the numbers of his residences, I was not successful in getting through to anyone. So I don't know how he died. And his associates don't know how he died.
Are people talking about this as in any way suspicious, or is the assumption that this is an 81-year-old guy who may have had some eccentricities in terms of his interest in Hillary Clinton's emails, but is somebody who was kind of primed to go the way of 81-year-old guys?
I think that's right. I mean, look, I don't know what people are saying on social media at the moment, but, you know, I have no reason to believe that there's any foul play in the death of Peter Smith. He was 81 years old. A couple of other things that I don't want to get into because we haven't verified all of them, but I have reason to believe that he died of a natural death and not from foul play.
Okay. So I want to try to bring this all together. We've got, it seems to me, on the concerning side, we've got an on-the-record source saying, I engaged in an effort. Oh, what? Before we get to the bring it all together, what did Peter Smith say about his relationship with the Trump campaign and with Flynn in particular?
Right. When we got to that point in the interview, because remember, in the context of this interview is happening, this is sort of an unexpected call from Peter Smith. And, you know, as a reporter who's on a story, you take advantage of that. When someone calls and they want to talk, of course you're going to talk to them. So when the conversation turned around to Flynn, he said he knew Flynn. He had known him for some time. And I said, was the work that you were doing in any way connected to the Trump campaign? And he said, no, I was doing this independently. This was, again, our first kind of initial conversation, of which I hope there would be several subsequent conversations.
And how long after this did he die?
About 10 days.
I see.
Yeah. So as best we can tell, you know, in the Trump campaign official said that, you know, he was not connected to the campaign. Again, whatever Mike Flynn did in his off hours is sort of the position they're taking. That's up to Mike Flynn.
So from Peter Smith's account, he knew Mike Flynn. It wasn't associated with the activity, wasn't associated with the campaign, and the degree to which it was associated with Flynn is somewhat ambiguous.
That's right. But although I think that there are, you know, in other conversations that Smith had with people and in emails that he wrote, I think the relationship is portrayed as much closer than he portrayed it to me in the interview.
Okay. So let's try to bring it all together. On the concerning / coordination / collusion side, you have an independent effort to recover emails.
Right.
That may have been purloined from Hillary Clinton's servers. Mm-hmm. That in some accounts involved Flynn in his capacity as national security advisor to the campaign, mm-hmm. and which tracks closely with intelligence community reporting that describes a similar operation, albeit not by not with any names attached, including either Smith's or Flynn's.
That's right.
So here's the question from the other side, mm-hmm. right? You've got, it seems to me, three big question marks. One is, was Flynn actually involved? Mm-hmm. One is, were these real Russian hackers, or right. were these some other?
Someone putting them on, yeah.
And the third is, were there actually any emails right. involved, right?
Right.
And so my question is, we've talked a little bit about Flynn, whether Flynn was actually involved, but what do we know on these other two points? Were there any, do we know if these were right. bona fide Russian hackers, or whether these were some group of people that a kooky conspiracy theorist connected with and thought were serious? And do we have any evidence that there were any actual emails purloined from Hillary Clinton's actual servers?
Right. So the short answer to those both questions is no. But let's kind of just unpack a bit what we know about each of those categories. So were there Russian hackers operating? You know, we know there were Russian hackers operating around the election. That's kind of beyond dispute. Exactly whether or not these were Russian hackers that were in touch with Peter Smith, I don't think we know that for sure. I suppose there's probably further evidence that I certainly can't obtain, because it may involve you know, records that I don't have access to, that might shed some light on that, but it seems plausible. Is there any evidence that Hillary Clinton's server was hacked? I guess I would point to two things. First off, the quick answer is no. But if you go back to Jim Comey's statement in July, where he publicly announced that he was not recommending prosecution of Hillary Clinton for her use of an email server, and he was sort of wrapping up, or we thought finally wrapping up at the time, the Clinton email investigation. You know, he said pretty clearly, there's no evidence that server was compromised, but the FBI does not expect that we would have found it. And he really seemed, I think, if you read that carefully, well, more than just carefully, if you just read it, it's fairly clear he's holding out the possibility that her email could have been compromised. And his statements to that effect are, A, look at the way that it was set up. It was actually a fairly dispersed system with weak security protocols, certainly not enough to handle classified information. And B, there were associates of Mrs. Clinton that had themselves been hacked, including people who were communicating with her on the address housed on that server. So Comey seemed, and I remember thinking this at the time, thinking, wow, he really is putting out there this idea that it may well have been hacked. We can't say that it would have been, but we also don't think we would have found the evidence. These are smart hackers. There are also people, smart people in the intelligence community, who hold out the possibility that it may well have been hacked. I mean, before we ever knew there was a private server, or that was before that was really ever a political controversy, I should say, there were people close to Hillary Clinton who were themselves being hacked. I mean, Sidney Blumenthal is the one who comes to mind. There is no evidence of that, though. There is very strong suspicion rooted in, you know, plausible explanations for how someone may have come by her server and hacked emails from it. But there's no evidence of that. I think what this story largely is about, though, is intent, right? I mean, Peter Smith intended to find hackers who had hacked Hillary Clinton's server, and he intended to try and verify them and then release them publicly. Whether or not, you know, he was actually doing it, that's a harder question to answer.
So in other words, this story at the end of the day is consistent with three entirely distinct possibilities. One is an independent, kooky guy mm-hmm. on his own contacted fake Russian hackers to recover fake emails, and it has nothing to do with the Trump campaign.
Right.
Except that he knew Michael Flynn.
Yeah, and invoked his name, right?
Right. Second possibility is an independent operative who is coordinating with or in touch with the Trump campaign attempts to contact Russian hackers, but actually reaches nobody to recover fake emails. So it's a reflection of an intended collusion, but no real actual collusion.
Mm-hmm.
And the third possibility is that somebody who's operating in collaboration with Flynn and the Trump campaign contacted actual Russian hackers about real emails.
Yeah.
All of those are consistent.
Any one of those could have happened, yeah. And I think that the question of which one really happened is something that, you know, investigators are probably going to spend some time trying to get to the bottom of.
So you've spent some time trying to get to the bottom of this. And now that the principal participant in it is dead,
mm-hmm.
Which is always inconvenient for investigative purposes, is there, you know, if you were in the shoes of the Senate Intelligence Committee or Bob Mueller, do you see a pathway to resolving this question? Or is this just going to be one of those weird mysteries that we all kind of scratch our heads about, but it's actually going to be irresolvable?
I think the pathway probably lies, or at least one good pathway, in what else did the intelligence reporting around this from the Russian side, right? The mirror image where people's faces are blotted out. Is there any indication that links it more affirmatively back to this description of Peter Smith's work that we're looking at? I suppose the question, too, of Mike Flynn's involvement / awareness of it would be fairly easily answered by looking at Mike Flynn's emails or Peter Smith's emails. Somewhere in there, I suspect there is more of a record or an electronic trail that gives some more clarity to what it is that was happening. But, you know, I go back to this extraordinary interview that I had with Peter Smith, where he really, for the most part, laid his cards on the table. You know, he was not exactly forthcoming in that particular interview about his relationship with Flynn, but in terms of the work that he was up to and what he was doing, he didn't seem to be hiding anything, and his facts checked out independently.
So I would say that there is a body of data here that any serious investigator would want to take a look at, and that's Peter Smith's comms, right? That they should have an answer to the question of, was he bluffing to other people about his relationship with Flynn, or in fact, was he in contact with Flynn? And you should be able to see that both from the substance of his emails and from the metadata associated with his telephone calls and other things. But the second thing is, who are these Russian hackers, quote unquote, whom he's purportedly in contact with, and what are the nature of those communications? And if I were the Senate Intelligence Committee or Bob Mueller, I would be really interested in knowing which of the three scenarios that we've just walked through reflects something like what actually happened. That seems to me to be gettable. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. And you know, in a perfect world, right? If Peter Smith were still with us, would have obviously been questions in a follow up interview that I posed to him, but. It seems to me that given, and, you know, we've talked about this before, and including on Rational Security, there is, you know, a pretty extraordinary amount of intelligence around what the Russians did in the DNC operation and the DCCC operations, what the FSB and the GRU were up to. Pretty, you know, high confidence, high fidelity intelligence about these things. So I presume that there are more answers to these questions of, you know, where on the spectrum of, you know, kooky, misguided conspiracy theory types to, no, they really were in contact with people who had hacked Hillary Clinton's server and wanted to get it out there. I suspect those answers are out there.
One more question, then I'll let you go. Have you ever before had a situation where a source called you out of the blue, gave you explosive information, and then died?
No, this is a first.
It's a first.
And for anyone listening, like, please don't be afraid to call me. It's not a curse. It's not a curse.
Shane Harris, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ben. It's a pleasure.
The Lawfare Podcast is produced in cooperation with the Brookings Institution. Thanks today to Shane Harris for dropping everything when his story came out and wandering over here to have a glass of scotch and a conversation. You need to do your part to tweet the Lawfare Podcast, rate the Lawfare Podcast, and we should do all five of those stars on those ratings. Facebook share the Lawfare podcast, talk incessantly about the Lawfare podcast to bored friends, family, and relatives. We'll be back with our regular episode of the Lawfare podcast this weekend. Thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.